bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? And would you say, Lord, would you speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you? Lord, speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you. Would you say that to the Lord? Secondly, would you say, Lord, help the preacher tonight to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to, filled with your spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you pray to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. As I thought about this, I would make the following statements. I'm glad to be a West Virginian.
Amen.
You may agree or disagree with that, but I'm glad to be a West Virginian. I'm glad to be from a rural country area. I'm glad to be an American.
Amen.
You agree with that? I'm even glad to be a Steeler fan. Even though they've not been, I'm glad to be a Mountaineer fan, even though that's not been too bountiful, for lack of a better term, lately. I'm glad to be a pastor. I'm glad to be the pastor at Oakmount. I'm glad to be Amy's husband. I'm glad to be Ryan and Jason's dad. And, you know, on and on. I'm glad in a lot of areas. But, you know, something that I'm more glad about than anything else, I'm glad that I'm a Christian. I'm glad that I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And it seemed that the Lord led me to just to talk a little bit tonight about things that should be an encouragement to each one of us. Tonight's title of the message is Why I'm Glad That I'm a Christian. Why I am glad that I'm a Christian. Five things I can always count on. So the title is Why I'm Glad That I'm a Christian. The subtitle is Five Things I Can Always Count On. And we're going to have a fair amount of different verses that we look at. And Ryan is going to pop them up pronto. And we're going to look at them as we go through this. But are you glad that you're a Christian?
Amen.
You know, this if you're here tonight and you're listening and half awake, and you leave and you don't feel a little bit blessed that you're a Christian, there's something probably wrong. Because we're going to look at really some big things that make me glad that I'm a Christian. The first one is the thing that makes me glad that I'm a Christian, wants something that I can always count on. I always have someone to talk to. I always have someone to talk to. Psalm 55 tonight. We're just going to look at these verses pretty quick and not spend a lot of time in any one of them. But you know, I'm glad as a Christian that one thing I can count on is I always have someone to talk to. Now, Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17. Notice what it says as the psalmist writes this. It says, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save or deliver me, is what it is. Now listen. Next verse, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. In case you was wondering about who I said you always have to talk, you have the opportunity to talk to, it's to God. You know, since I know Jesus, anytime. You know, companies like to say, well, we're open every day of the year, except maybe Christmas, they might say. But you know, the doors to prayer are always open. You say 24/7, truly 365. And it doesn't have to be daylight. It could be in the middle of the night. But at all times, I have somebody to talk to. I can talk to God at any time. And you say, well, I don't want to bother God. You are not bothering God. He's a big enough God. If he can keep the solar system in sync, I believe he can listen to, what, 8.5 billion prayers at the same time, don't you? Not that all will be praying to him at the same time, but if they would, he's like, he's still got it handled, all right? So I always have somebody to talk to. Psalm 34 and verse 17. It says, the righteous cry and the Lord what? What's that word? Heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. Says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Another passage is 145:18 out of Psalms. 145:18. Notice, the Lord is nigh unto all them that what? Call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. You know, throughout the book of Psalms, the psalmist writes, you know, when I pray, he's going to hear me. That's great. You know, there may not be a human being that really wants to talk to you. I mean, seriously, right? At times, I know, you know, they don't want you to call them at 3 a.m. in the morning because, you know, they're trying to get their rest. But you don't bother God. You don't wake God up. You don't disturb God. We always have somebody to talk to. I don't know if you thought about it in the context of 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that little simple verse that says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Always be in an attitude of prayer. Wouldn't it be something if God told us to pray all the time, but he wasn't available? He's like, okay, you Christians, you can pray anytime you want to, but I'm not going to listen. I mean, by implication, he is there listening to us. Now, y'all didn't know my mom, but my mom was a talker. She'd talk to anybody, anytime about anything. I mean, you know, she's the kind, as I've said several times, she'd go to the doctor's office. By the time she was out of there, she knew every ailment they had and how many kids they had and where they lived and, you know, and just talk. Now, you may be a person like that. You say, I like to talk. You know, humans long for companionship. Really, they do. And it's good. Don't we want to be able to talk to somebody? Wow. You know, one thing that makes me really, really glad that I'm a Christian, I always have somebody to talk to. The second thing I can count on, I always have great directions. I always have great directions. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Notice, thy word, right here. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, really, what is that saying? The Bible gives me direction. You know, as a child of God, this is my owner's manual. I mean, as a child of God, this is what tells me what's right and what's wrong. You know, the problem is not what the Bible doesn't tell us. A lot of times the problem is we children just don't know his book well enough. But this book always gives us direction. You see, I always have great directions. And if you know my poor sense of humor, well, that's true too, my poor sense of direction, I have a hard time getting through Walmart without trying to figure out where the front of the store is. I mean, really. But in life, now, I can probably usually make it out of Walmart. But I'm telling you, turn me around three times. My sense of direction, 9 times out of 10, when I get to a stop sign with Amy somewhere I'm unfamiliar with in driving a lot, you know, I say, I go right here, right, Amy? She says, go left. Or if I say left, no. Occasionally, it's almost like a gold star day when I get it right. But you know, as a child of God, as a Christian, as God is my Heavenly Father, I have the directions I need right here in this book. Now, I can choose to follow the directions. I can choose to ignore the directions. I can choose to go completely against God's directions, but they're right here. I mean, my goodness, I'm glad about that. Aren't you glad about that? Have you ever thought what we would do if we didn't have a Bible? I mean, my golly, we're pretty messed up as it is. But what if we didn't have the Bible? We say, I don't know what to do. You know what to do? I don't know how to worship. Do you know? I don't know what to believe about the holy birth of Jesus. Do you know? Do you know where we're going to spend eternity? No, I don't. Do you? I mean, we got the book, and we still disagree in a lot of ways, but this book is the definitive answer to everything. And if we listen to this book, and we read this book, and we accept this book in the literal way that this book was intended to be, we got direction in life. And I'm thankful for that, aren't y'all? I praise the Lord that I have direction. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. This is the most extensively used passage to confirm that this book come from God. It says, "And that from a child thou hast known," Paul speaking to Timothy, "thou hast known the Holy Scriptures," the Bible, "which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." How are we told how to be saved? How do we get directions on how to be saved? From the Bible. I've told you several times. I could say, let's go pound on that wall three times, hopscotch down the left or the right side of the row over there, the aisle, and we go up and beat on that window in there to the cry room, go around, run around the church three times, and come back in here and tap the communion table and say, "You're saved." And if I didn't have the book before me, the Word of God, you couldn't tell me I was wrong. But because I know what the Bible says about salvation, I got direction. And can I tell you, the direction to be saved is the same for every man and every woman and every teenager and every child of God, every little child. It's always the same. And now we may have a different salvation testimony in the sense how we got to that point, but the only way to be saved is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. And it says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. But notice, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed these very words into existence. And it says it's profitable or it's good for doctrine. That's direction. He said, "Preacher, I just don't know what to believe." Well, go to your Bible. It's right there. It was never intended to be rocket science. It's right there. Now, you and I might say, "I don't like that. I'm not going to accept that. I just don't believe that. I'm going to believe what some old man says about it." Well, fine. But you're wrong. It tells me what to believe. It says for reproof. Now, aren't you glad that if you spend time in the Word of God and you're reading through your Bible reading guide or however you're reading your Bible, if you're honest with yourself, when you're not right with God and you're reading the Word of God, it'll speak to you. It'll get a hold of you. The Holy Spirit will say, "Hey, you're not living right. You're not doing right." Right? That's the reproof part. That gives me direction when I'm not right with God. And then it says for correction. The good news is it doesn't lead me there away from God. It doesn't lead me there rebelling against God. It says you're not right, and this is the way to get right. And it says if you've wronged people, go to them and say, "I'm sorry, I wronged you," right? And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It tells us how to get clean again. I'm thankful for the direction of the Word of God. And then it says specifically for instruction in righteousness. You want to live a righteous life before God? The directions are right here. I know we men sometimes are pretty stubborn. I don't want to look at the directions. I'll just build it my own way. But guess what? That's dangerous when it comes to living the Christian life. We cannot build it our own way because it's not about us. That the man of God, and that's not talking about the preacher, that's talking about every person who serves God, may be perfect, or what? Mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Boy, aren't you thankful that you always, as a child of God, have good directions? I'd say great directions. I'd say wonderful directions. I'd say amazing directions in the Word of God. I'm glad that I'm a Christian. I'm glad that I know Jesus as my Savior. Number one, I always have someone to talk to. Number two, I always have great directions. Number three, I always have a wonderful bunch of friends. I always have a wonderful bunch of friends. Do you know where my wonderful bunch of friends are? In the local church. And even if I have friends outside, there's something special about the bond you have with someone who knows Jesus in their heart, right? I mean, there's a bond and there's a fellowship there. And I may not, a lot of people are missing out on this wonderful bunch of friends. Really, they are. They're just like kind of hit and missing, you know. I'll see my friends every once in a while, and then, you know, I'll miss for a month. Then I'll come back in and say, hey, friends, how you doing? You know, that's a shallow friendship. But I'm telling you, with a child of God in the local church, I can have a wonderful bunch of friends. Now, this is the part that's it's a little bit more questionable than anything else that I've said, because all the others depend upon God. But this depends on us being good people too, right? Or being friendly people or encouraging people. And I know that some churches don't fit that category, but I'm thankful that Oak Mound, praise the Lord, right now. I mean, I have a wonderful bunch of friends in Oak Mound, don't you? And I know, I realize that can change, and I realize we may have difference of opinion here. I get all that. But I'm thankful that that wonderful bunch of friends is available to me, and it's always available to me. I'm amazed how many people don't take advantage of the wonderful bunch of friends that we have. And again, I'll just say, if you're not a member of a church, you need to join a church, and I don't know of any better one right here at Oak Mound. Did I say that fast enough? Did I not get in trouble? But I always have a wonderful bunch of friends. I really do. I always have a wonderful bunch of friends. Whether it was my home church, I had a wonderful bunch of friends. Whether it was the church we had in Connecticut, I had a wonderful bunch of friends. Whether it was a church in Huntington, after we moved to Huntington or Barbersville, I had a wonderful bunch of friends. I'm trying to remember where we went from there. Let's see, we went to Chattanooga and Highland Park Baptist, mega church. I had a wonderful bunch of friends. On and on, the first church I pastored, the second church I pastored, here where I have a wonderful bunch of friends. And that's the way God intended it. You never were meant to be a Lone Ranger. I like watching the Lone Ranger, but you and I never wasn't. It never was meant for us to be a Lone Ranger. You see, we're supposed to be part of the body of Christ. We are spiritually already, but we're supposed to be part of that local body called the local church. And it's not punishment. It's like, oh, God wants me to join that church. Oh, I'd rather eat dirt. If that's the way you feel about it, just go eat some dirt then, I guess. But really, it is a blessing and a positive and a wonderful thing to be a part of a local church. I mean, really, I've said this many times. On Wednesday nights, now, I haven't always been behind the pulpit. I've been in the pew. I've worked a regular job, like many of you either are working or have worked like that, a secular job. And on Wednesday night, I'm like, oh, I'm tired. I believe it's a ploy of the devil. I was always tireder on Wednesdays than any other night, as best I remember, when I was in your position. You know, Wednesday night, like, oh, I just don't know. You know, but we just like, we're going to go to church regardless. And then without exception, we'd go to church and we'd like, I'm glad I went to church. You know, because I got together with a wonderful bunch of people. It's almost like a shot in the arm, like a boost, like an energy drink spiritually. You're like, wow, okay. And that's not by accident. God ordained it. God made the local church. I think a lot of people believe when the preacher gets behind the pulpit and beats the pulpit on something, it's like, he's on a hobby horse. If the preacher is a Bible-believing and preaching preacher, he's on God's horse and he's preaching what he wants him to preach and says, this is good. I didn't make up the local church. God did. I didn't say it's supposed to be a priority in life. God did. I didn't say it would be a blessing to everybody. God did in his word. I'm thankful for the local church. Let's think about it. What if you didn't have someone to talk to all the time? What if you didn't have great directions from the Word of God? And what if you didn't have the local church? You know, on Wednesday night, I'm glad that we're human. I think in the local church, you can show your humanness and yet your compassion for one another, right? And our struggles. And I really think that sometimes we put way too much too many guards up. Because we're afraid that somebody sitting in the seat next to me won't think I'm a spiritual. So I'm not going to tell them I'm struggling in a certain area of my life. I really think we should be more open. Really, I do. I don't have the solution on how to do it. But we should care enough for one another that we uplift one another. And we pray for one another. And when we get together, when you say, I pray for me, I've got a health issue, you're like, me too, man, I got a health issue too. It just encourages you, right? And then you might stand up and say, I've had a rough week, but God is good. And you're like, hey, me too. I mean, what a wonderful blessing is this wonderful bunch of friends called the local church. And it shouldn't be like I dread going to church. I dread, you know, the preacher ought not be preaching mad. He ought to be preaching glad. You know, I've heard that when I was in seminary. Don't preach mad. You're supposed to preach glad. And seriously, I mean, we can hit some hard points and you know, hit them hard and, you know, preach hellfire and brimstone and all that, but we should still be preaching glad, right? And when we come, we ought to feel like, you know, the world's tough. The weather forecast is not good. You know, everything's bad. I don't feel very good. You know, we've had all these struggles. Finances aren't really good, but I'm going to go to church. And then when I go to church, I feel like I'm among friends. And believe me, we're not a perfect bunch of people. This guy behind this thing, he's not a perfect guy. If you haven't figured that out yet, I'll talk to you after church. I'm not going to share anything with you, but I'll talk to you after church and just reinforce the fact I'm not perfect. If you're looking for a perfect preacher, you need to fire me and try to find one because I'm not him. But I'm a sinner saved by grace, and God has called me to be here. And what a blessing it is to have a wonderful bunch of friends like this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, 24, and 25. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Can you say amen?
Amen.
For he is faithful that promised. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That wasn't as exciting. And it says, thank you, Connie. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And to good work. What do we do when we get together? We're provoking one another to love. To love God, to love one another more. We're provoking one another. You say, hey, you know what? We're gonna stuff a bunch of Ziploc bags with the gospel and candy for the Christmas parade. Or guess what we're going to do? We're gonna stuff a bunch of Easter eggs with candy so we can we're encouraging, provoking one another to love people more, love the Lord more, and to love even one another more, right? And it says to provoke and to love and to good works. I mean, if your church is not encouraging you and provoking you to do more for the Lord, you need to find another church. I mean, it's not this easy believism. I'm saved and I'm just comfortable and I'm just going to keep this pew occupied. We don't need anybody to hold down a seat. Really, we don't. They won't get up and float away. Let's try that. Everybody stand up. Some of you are getting tired. Stand up. We're doing an experiment. This is a spiritual experimente, okay? All right. Now that all that can have gotten up now, are any of these here seats floating? No, not one of them. They're still bolted down. So do we need pew sitters? No. We don't need seat sitters. We need people that say, you know what? We provoke to love and to good works. We need to be serving the Lord more every day. I don't believe there's one single solitary soul that stands before Jesus someday at the judgment seat of Christ and say, you know what? I wish I'd have done less for Jesus. No. I wish I'd have done more. And see, when we get together with a great bunch of folks called the local church, it encourages us to love God, to love one another, to love the lost, and provokes us to serve the Lord more. Okay, you can be seated now that we proved that experiment. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and as the manner of some is. What does that say? Some people are going to forsake the assembling of themselves together. Ding, 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 ding. Isn't that where we're at today? 2026 in America? People are forsaking the assembling of themselves together. It says, as the manner of some is. But exhorting one another, again, with a great bunch of people, encouraging one another in their walk with God. When you hear songs, you should be encouraged. Oh, say, but I'm glad. That encourages, right? And say, you know what, I'm glad I came to church. Exhorting one another, and here it is. And so much the more, not less, as you see the day approaching. What day approaching? The day of the Lord's return. It's closer. It's just right there. It wouldn't surprise me if before this big snowstorm hits, the Lord comes back and takes us home. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me one iota. I'm like, well, okay, that's good. Praise the Lord. I'm out of here. I'm voting, praying for the rapture anyway. I did so good. I'm not sure I'm praying, but I'd hope for the rapture. I'm ready. Lord, even so come Lord Jesus, right? Not less, but more. Our churches, if we're following what this say, our churches should be starting to grow and fill up because Christians are serious enough about God to say, the Lord's coming back. I'm going to get back in church.
Amen.
Wow. I always have a wonderful bunch of friends. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I'll let you out by 10 o'clock. And they continued steadfastly in the. This is the beginning of the New Testament church, right after Pentecost. This is the beginning. And notice what they did. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, what we call the Bible today. That's where the apostles' doctrine is recorded. And fellowship. Fellowship. That's the word koinonia, which means a sharing in common. You know what we have in common? It's not that we support the same team. It's not that we're all from the same area. It's not that we're all the same income level. What we share in common is Jesus. Jesus. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, these thousands that were saved on the day of Pentecost, I think they cherish their time together. Shouldn't we cherish? It says in breaking of bread. I enjoy breaking bread with you people. I'm looking forward to the afternoon services where I can break some more bread with you people. I mean, I'm glad that I not only always have someone to talk to. I'm glad that I not only have great directions always, but I always have a wonderful bunch of friends. Number four, why I'm glad that I'm a Christian. Five things I can always count on. Number four, I always have something grand to look forward to. I always have something grand to look forward to. You know, that's not necessarily the way I'm going to apply it, but, you know, even if you're walking with the Lord, it's exciting about the way God might use you, right? I mean, with our boys, you know, at this phase in life right now, you know, Ryan has graduated. He's got this ministry through August. We've talked about it a little bit. It's kind of exciting, isn't it, Ryan? You're like, where might God call him to go and serve? And Jason, being a junior, he's going to do an internship this summer, 8-week intern somewhere in the world. I don't know. See, he's a missions major, so he can't intern necessarily through our church. He's going to be probably on a mission field somewhere. And then when he graduates in another year after that, one more year after this year, it's kind of exciting, isn't it? It's like, where's God going to call him to be a missionary? I mean, he might live in a thatch hut somewhere out in the jungles of Africa. Now, yeah, there's a little scary there too, but it's exciting about, and really, we ought to wake up saying, God, how are you going to use me today? Do I always do that? Absolutely not. But wouldn't it be good to say, God, how are you going to use me? I always have something grand to look forward to when I'm serving Jesus. But what I specifically want to emphasize is our heavenly home. You know, I do a little bit better having something to look forward to when things are a little bit tough or maybe a little bit more kind of a drudgery maybe for a little bit, or things are, you got some trials going on, or, you know, doesn't it help to say, hey, that's all right, but boy, in 25 days I'm going on vacation or something like that. Doesn't it kind of like, yeah, that's good. Hello, y'all out there? Doesn't that make you feel a little bit, you know, hey, we get to travel here, we get to do this, it's going to be exciting, we take a little break. Can I tell you that nothing is going to compare to the glories of heaven? And if we know Jesus, it's as good as done. I mean, the transition between this world and heaven is really sweet and quick. We breathe our last, boom, we're gone. The trumpet sounds in the rapture, boom, I'm gone. I mean, that's not much of a bad transition at all, right? Now, we might suffer a little bit in this world. Sometimes people do on their deathbed. I get it. I understand that. But believe me, that's nothing to be compared to the glories that God has for us, right? I always have something grand to look forward to. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. I'll go through this real quick. It says, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are ye saved. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's as good as if we're there now. He's raised us up to sit in heavenly places with Jesus. It's as good as done. It says that in the ages, now listen to this, this is cool. That in the ages to come, he, God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace. How much exceeding riches of his grace does he have? Is there any limit to God's riches of grace? No. It says, notice what he's going to do, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Wow. Isn't that exciting? That God is going to show us his kindness and the abundant riches of his grace throughout all of eternity. Wow. I wish that we could have a trap door to hell and a trap door to heaven. And that probably it would only take about a second. You open up that door to hell and say, boy, I sure don't want to go there, and I don't want any of my friends to go there, and I'm going to tell them all about Jesus. And we take one trap door down and look up into heaven and say, boy, that's where I want to be, and close it up. I mean, wouldn't that be something? Man, just think about it. And it goes on to say, for by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Now, aren't you glad that God gives us this clear description? You cannot work your way to heaven. It's impossible. In case you missed it in that verse, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot work your way to heaven. It's not Jesus plus good works get you there. It's Jesus alone. And it's by putting your faith and trust into Jesus. That's it. And then it goes on, and this kind of does speak about looking forward to each day we have for Jesus. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, what? Unto good works. You know, some would translate this kind of like, we are his masterpiece. Wow. And he's weaving together our lives and what he wants us to do. So every day we can get up and say, God, how are you going to use me? And it's exciting. It says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, God has a plan, and if we fulfill God's plan, it's an exciting plan, and we can always have something grand to look forward to. Revelation 21, a very familiar passage, but I think it bears repeating. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. It says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a what? Bride adorned for her husband. I've never seen an ugly bride. It's going to be wonderful, right? And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. We're going to be in the very presence of God in heaven. Isn't that something grand to look forward to? It says, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Man, you talk about close fellowship with God. We're going to be right there with him. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You ever shed a tear? Yeah. He's going to wipe all those tears away. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more even pain. Anybody in pain tonight? Yeah. Some people live with pain every day, but it's all going to be gone. There's not going to be any funerals in heaven. Praise the Lord. For the former things are passed away. Wow. Notice what it says in verse 8. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. We like new stuff, don't we? Everything's new in heaven. And it's not going to get old. You say, preacher, that can't happen. Well, with God, it can happen. And he said unto me, write, for these things are true and faithful. Look at verse 10. It says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great... This is John. He says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Man, the glories of heaven. Wow. I mean, I'm just kind of scratching the surface. This is the tip of the iceberg, if you will. Chapter 22, verses 1 to 5. You see, I always have something grand to look forward to. Not only in this life and how God might use me and what exciting things might be on the horizon, but also, and what's more grand than leading a soul to Jesus? But what about when we go to heaven? He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there was no more curse, But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. That's us. And they shall see his face. When it says they, that's us. And his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Wow. You see, I'm glad that I'm a Christian. Talking about five things I can always count on. I always have something grand to look forward to. Last point, number five. This list could be much longer. This is not meant to be an extensive list. Why I'm glad that I'm a Christian, five things I can always count on. Number one, I always have someone to talk to. Secondly, I always have great directions from the Word of God. Thirdly, I always have a wonderful bunch of friends in the local church if I just take advantage of it. Number four, I always have something grand to look forward to, how God might use me in my life left on this earth and the glories and the wonders of heaven. And lastly, I always have good news to consider on the inside. I always have good news to consider on the inside. You know, this world is full of bad news. You know, there's murder, there's disease, there's hunger, there's rising prices, there's snowstorms in the forecast. We have appliances and cars that break down. Would anybody agree with me that there's a lot of bad news in this world? No, there is. And there is still some good news in the world. Every once in a while, there's a good, nice, heartwarming story on the news, and it's almost like, wow, that's an exception. But so much of the news we hear is bad, right? But you know, on the inside, we always have good news. Really. On the inside, we always have good news. It doesn't matter what's happening out here. On the inside, if I know Jesus, there's good news. Look at the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, here, this is the ones I wanted to specifically emphasize. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, regardless of how bad it is out here, because I know Jesus and his Holy Spirit lives in here, I can have that love, joy, peace, and ever, all of those things. So there's always good news on the inside, right? Always. Beyond that, I mean, this list here could be humongous. I mean, it could go on and on. But what about love, joy, peace? What about security? Security. Even though the world's gone crazy, I don't believe there is such a thing as job security, do you? I don't believe there is such a thing as political security, do you? I mean, it's like, man, you just don't know what's going to happen from day to day to day to day to day, right? But I'm thankful that I have eternal security in Jesus. Now, to me, I know some people, I don't know how come, but some people seem to struggle with this a little bit, like, am I eternally saved or not? I mean, my goodness, the Bible's clear there. I mean, before I was seminary trained or whatever, I never had a problem defending that. It's like the Bible's so clear. Just look at what the Bible says. Of course you've got eternal life if you're truly born again. Now, there's some people that say, I saved when I was 3 years old, but then their life's a wreck. They probably never were saved. Or I saved when I was 15, but then they're on all these things and they have no remorse about it. There's a good chance they may have never been saved. But I'm telling you, they may have been an emotional decision. They may have followed a friend. But if you're truly born again, if you know that you know that you know that you're saved and you've come to him by faith and put your faith and trust in Jesus, you can't lose it. I don't care how many smart-looking people get behind some, I don't know if I'd even call it a pulpit, but they get behind something and try to proclaim that you can lose your salvation. You can't, according to God's great directions that I always have before me, right? According to God's book, I'm in the Father's hand, and nothing can pluck you from my Father's hands, right? Even Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. in whom also after that you believed, what? After you believed, after you were saved, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. Sealed. You see that word? You can't break God's seal, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, which is us, unto the praise of His glory. Now, that's just one little verse. They're throughout the Scriptures. If you truly know Jesus, and that, don't you think that's a good thing to know? I mean, you might go into work tomorrow, and the doors are locked up. I mean, I'm not trying to scare anybody or depress you, but it's possible, right? And you might try to go to the grocery store, and you won't be able to get a grocery store because there's no more supply because everybody thought there was a big storm coming. I mean, any number of things can happen, and you're like, oh, I put my security in it. I was secure that I could go to Food Lion and get whatever I wanted, but I can't. You know, I secured my job. I thought that was my retirement. Now they're taking my retirement away. The economy, I mean, there is no such thing as security in this world. But I got eternal security because I know Jesus. And I know why. I know where I'm going. Last one. And this list, again, could be really long, the overall list. But this list in particular that I always have good news to consider on the inside. I have purpose. I have purpose. There's a song that I used to sing years ago. I was born to serve the Lord. That's really, I was born to serve the Lord. You were born to serve the Lord. I have purpose. I'm not here by accident. I'm not here just kind of floundering in the wind saying, oh, what am I supposed to be doing? Now, the world's doing a lot of that. I mean, seriously, they're doing a lot of that. But I have purpose in life. I really do. I have purpose. You know, God has a purpose for each one of you. You know, you're not just here by accident. God wants to use you in huge ways. Really, He does. The biggest drawback and hindrance to that is us, right? I don't think I want to do that, God. Well, you should want to do whatever God wants you to do. But He has big plans for you because He has purpose for you. Purpose. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, read that with me, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, whatever you do, the words that you speak, the deeds that you do are all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm not here for self. I'm here for God. So many Christians, they go through their whole life. I don't care if they live to be 126. They still don't get it. They think it's all about what they can get out of life. Life, once you know Jesus as Savior, is not about what you can get out of life. It's about what you can do for the Lord. But the really amazing thing about it, when you do that, your life is better. I mean, you think, oh, I'm going to manage my life and it's going to be great and I'm going to be a millionaire and I'm going to drive big trucks and I'm going to... You can do all that all you want to and you'll be miserable because you're not doing what God wants you to do if you know the Lord as Savior. But when you turn it over to Him, say, Lord, I'll do whatever You want me to do. It's better than you can ever imagine. Wow. Purpose. Purpose. Matthew 6:33, last verse I believe we're going to turn to. Matthew 6:33, but what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Wow. I always have good news to consider on the inside. Love, joy, peace, security, purpose. You know, I just kind of felt like we needed a shot in the arm. I kind of felt like we need a little energy, a spiritual energy drink tonight, that we need to be encouraged that if we know Jesus, man, it's amazing. I'm so glad that I'm a Christian. Five things. In this world that you can hardly count on anything, I'm thankful. There's five things tonight we looked at that we can always count on. I always have someone to talk to. It doesn't matter how many people don't want to talk to me. It doesn't matter. My God wants to talk to me. He talks to me through the Word. I talk to Him through prayer. So I always have somebody to talk to. You know, they say that women speak 75,000 words on average a day. Men, 25,000 words on average a day. So women, if you don't get all 75,000 out in one day, just share them with the Lord. Just go, Lord. I don't think there's any truth to that statement, but I've heard that for years. But I always have someone to talk to. Second thing I can always count on, I always have great directions. Siri will lead you astray. Siri is horrible at giving you directions in anything rural. Maybe in the city she's good, but she's a city slicker. And you tell her how to get from this local little town to this local little town, and she will invariably take you the wrong way. And you'll begin to wonder if you're even going to get there. But I have great directions. I got the Word of God. These are directions straight from heaven. I got them. Thirdly, I always have a wonderful bunch of friends. If I choose to be part of this wonderful bunch of friends, it's a wonderful bunch of friends. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I always have something grand to look forward to. Not only what might unfold in my life from day to day to day and how I might glorify the Lord through that and how He might use me in this old wicked world, but also, guess what? Got a mansion. If you know Jesus, you got a mansion. Wow, that's kind of exciting, isn't it? And the best part is that God's going to be there. And we're going to be in His very presence. And it's not like we don't have to worry about anything. You think of your best day in this world, nothing compared to your worst day in heaven, if there is such a thing. It's all good. It's all good. I always have something grand to look forward to. And lastly, we looked at tonight, I always have good news to consider on the inside. The outside world may not be such good news, but there's love, there's joy, and there's peace on the inside when I know Jesus. There's security on the inside, and there's purpose on the inside. They can do whatever they want to me. They can hang me up. They can torture me. They can do whatever. I hope it doesn't happen, but if they do, they cannot take away my salvation. They can take away whatever retirement I might have. They can take away anything in my life that they say they want, but guess what? They cannot take away my salvation. And I am so thankful that I'm a Christian. Are you thankful that you're a Christian? If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. If you're a Christian here tonight, are you glad that you're a Christian? Are you glad that you're a Christian? If you are, would you just thank God and tell Him how glad you are that you know Jesus as your Savior? How glad you are and thankful you are that you know the Heavenly Father through Jesus? And thank Him for all the things that you can always count on. Ones we looked at tonight. You always have someone to talk to. You always have great directions. You have a wonderful bunch of friends. You have something grand to look forward to. And you always have good news to consider on the inside. Would you just take a moment and praise Him and worship Him and thank Him if you know Jesus as your Savior for all of those things that you can always count on? Bowed and every eye is closed. If you're here tonight or if you're listening in by live stream and you say, you know what, I don't really know for sure that I'm saved, that I truly am a child of God, that I've trusted the Lord as my Savior, I'd encourage you, wherever you might be, if you're here, you know, I'd love to talk to you after the service, but if you're listening in, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you can't count on these things because they don't belong to you. These are for people that have trusted the Lord Jesus. I'd encourage you, if you want these things that we talked about, the only way to do that is by trusting Jesus as your Savior. And wherever you are right now, whether you're in your favorite recliner or wherever you might be, you could, if you mean this from your heart, you can call out to God in prayer and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I failed you. Please forgive me of all my sins. And you can tell Him in prayer, I believe Jesus, God's Son, your Son, God, died upon the cross to pay for my sins and then resurrected back to life. And you can say this and mean this from your heart. I now confess Jesus as my Savior. If you're willing to make that commitment and mean it from your heart, you can be saved right where you are. Then you automatically inherit all these things. You have someone to talk to all the time. You have great directions all the time. You have a wonderful bunch of friends all the time. You have something grand to look forward to all the time. And you have good news to consider on the inside all the time. If you did that tonight, wherever you might be, I wish you'd let us know here at the church some way. Call us or text us or email us or something. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your blessings. Lord, what a privilege it is to be called a child of God. What a privilege it is to be a Christian. The world looks at us and thinks we're crazy, but Lord, they just don't know what they're missing. I just thank you for all your blessings, and I'm so glad that I'm a Christian, and I just thank you for all those things we can count on tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.